The Gospel of Matthew is where we want to look at today. Matthew chapter 25. We're going to read verses 1 through 13. And we're going to talk about something that it seems that people just don't talk about anymore. We don't hear it very often, but we need to know it. How do you say amen? You need to know about it. Much. But Matthew, the 25th chapter, verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took, what did they take? Their lamps. And went forth to meet the bride. No, the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise. And 5 were what? That they were foolish, took their lamps, and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And 5 says, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. The wise answered, saying, not so. Everybody say, not so. Lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourself. You got to get this for yourself. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. Afterward also, the other virgins saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Verse 13, watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. We're going to talk about the coming of the Lord. And we're going to be talking about being ready to meet God. Somebody say, I want to be ready. Look at your neighbor and say, I want you to be ready. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you today. Help me, Lord God, I pray, Lord, in this time, Lord, to give what you have given me today, God, to help us. God, the things of your word, let it matter. I pray for the glory of the Holy Ghost and the grace of your Spirit today. Help us, oh God, to be ready to meet you and help us to be wise unto salvation. We give you thanks. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to understand that this lesson here talks about virgins, people that were clean, people that were that lived a separated life. There were 10 of them. And if you look at the significance of it, we're talking about the coming of the Lord. But we're also talking about something very important, being ready. And this also gives great indication that you could have a religious experience. You could have a Holy Ghost experience. And if you're not ready to meet God, even though you've had a Holy Ghost initial experience, if your oil is out, you could be lost and left. Amen. I want you to look at the time and the season that we're in right now. And realize with us that we are living in an hour that points to the coming of the Lord. I mean, we have all kinds of disruptions of order and law and authority that God made humans to have. We're living in an hour where it's okay for somebody to have a choice, where they want to be what they want to be and not want what they want not want to be. People born this way and they're saying to themselves, I don't like being a man. and they haven't changed, or like a man like a man, a woman likes a woman as their spouse. Do you know that this was prophesied about in the last time? This hour was talked about by Jesus, and he checkmarked it as being the sign of the end times. Somebody say amen. Not only that, but they were marrying and giving in marriage, right? In other words, they were marrying and they were thinking, I don't like her anymore, so I'll just trade her in. They were trading in and cashing in their vows before God. A marriage is not a contract, it is a vow. Yes, hear me well. And the Bible speaks that this is going to be a sign of the end time. People that don't care, they don't care about the things of God, the law, the order, the system that God has made. And this was one of the things that the Lord talked about. We're living in an hour where good, when you try to do right with God, you're looked at as being bad. But those that want to do evil stuff today are accepted. And everybody begins to lift that up and said, oh, well, it's all right. But the Word of God still teaches against it, doesn't it? We're in that hour that we got to be ready to meet Jesus. Amen. And I want you to understand that there's a lot of people teach and believe even in Pentecostalism. And I want to apologize. Sister Brenda, we hear a lot of people begin to talk against the Baptists, but Pentecostals are just as bad about believing that I'm okay and I don't have to have a relationship with God. Sister Brenda will tell you they believe you have to have a relationship with God. And they believe in one God. Hear me. There are people today that begin to say, in Pentecost, I got the Holy Ghost. And I got baptized in Jesus now. You need more than an initial experience with God. You need a walk and a relationship with God. You need your oil to be full. Somebody say amen. Because Jesus is coming back. You got to be ready. Look at your neighbor and say, I got to be ready. We said that a while ago, but I can't overemphasize. Amen. Ephesians begins to talk about be doers of the word and not hearers only. You got to be one that hears the word of God and act upon it. Next thing, there are people that feel like I don't have to come to church. I don't need a pastor. I don't need somebody. Amen. Do you know that Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians 5:26 that the church is sanctified and cleansed with the washing of the water by the word? Through the foolishness of God saves them that believe, not just those that are lost, but them that believe. You need people to preach to you. We're humans. We need the oil in our lamp to be full. And we need a reservoir with it. Amen. Full. And so the parable of the 10 virgins is part of the answers to the disciples' question that in Matthew 24 that they asked Jesus, when shall and what shall the signs be of the coming of the Lord? And he starts to tell them about how different things are going to happen, just like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. He talks about the days of Noah. He talks about these things. But the whole point of the purpose of the lesson, the significance of it, is watch ye therefore, for you know not what hour the Lord is going to come. Be ye ready, the scripture also says. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, even at midnight. Hey, you got to be ready. Watch, watch, watch. Pay attention to the time and the hour that we're living in. The Lord is still coming. Somebody said the Lord has delayed his coming. But that's okay. We need to still be ready to meet Jesus. Amen. Think with me today. The significance of this chapter and this parable that Jesus, he's urging his followers to be alert and prepared for his return, living lives that reflect their commitment to his kingdom. The overall theme of this passage is watchfulness, responsibility, and judgment. You got to be watchful. You got to be alert. Amen. You got to be ready. And you got to be that one that stays, amen, full. It's your responsibility, amen, to stay full and to keep your lamp full and to keep the oil reservoir full. Somebody say amen. Now, we find in this parable those who are diligent, responsible, and faithful is going to be rewarded. While those who are complacent, hypocritical, and wicked will face judgment. These are not talking, Jesus is not talking to outsiders. He's talking to insiders. Those on the inside, those that part of his bride to be. He's talking to us. We've got to be ready. And this parable serves as a reminder to live in a way that we're always ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I got to be ready. Hallelujah. Let's talk about the wise and the foolish virgins here. Solomon, whenever he was talking about wisdom, he said, we got to be wise, like, first thing, like an ant. And he says they are small creatures, but they're wise creatures. Anybody knows why he deemed them as being wise? Raise your hand if you'd like to give it a shot. Why did Solomon call the ant wise? Brother Ashton. Constantly working and preparing. Sister Brenda. They had no leader. They had a queen, but they always was working, preparing the hive, getting it ready. Solomon said, these may be small, but they got sense to prepare. How crazy it is, amen, to have intelligence but not using it. We need some sense in this hour to recognize that we are living in an hour that begins to be defined as what Jesus says is the last hour. We need to be ready to meet Jesus Christ. I believe the coming of the Lord is nigh. How about you? Amen. Oh, friend, when I was a boy, and I can remember preachers coming to preach to us at our church, they would talk about the coming of the Lord. And I've seen people get scared to death because they believe that the Lord would come at any moment. I can remember at a certain time there were missiles that were pointed in different places around the globe. The enemy, whether it was Russia or different things, and people were scared to death. They said, you know, the Lord could come back. This is signs of the end time where there's wars and rumors of war. Hey, we've got more junk going on. We don't know who's our enemy, whether it's the White House or whoever. Hey, the whole point is, friend, we must be ready. But as a child, when a preacher would preach at our church about the coming of the Lord, and God could come at any time, I remember people used to be that had that fearfulness. They would run to an altar saying, God, I want to be ready. But our generation has evolved to the place where they just write it off. They're not concerned. Amen. A while ago, we walked at our house, Isaac and I, and everything was lit up. All the things in the house were still just fine, but I couldn't find my wife. And for just a moment of time, I thought, Lord, could you have already came? It did come across my mind. I called her, no answer. Called her back again, and finally she called me. And I'm glad she didn't call, saying, you missed it, buddy. No. But those things, I mean, there was times that's happened. And some of you older people, you probably remember a time that happened to you. You walked in and you couldn't find nobody in your house. You thought, oh, mom and daddy, they're going to meet Jesus. The Lord then took them instantly. How many's ever remember that? I remember at a youth camp, Sister Crosswhite. You were there, I was there. Ironically, we didn't even know each other, I don't think. That somebody got in the choir loft with a trumpet and the man of God was preaching. I believe it was Brother Foss or somebody. I can't remember who was preaching. But all of a sudden, somebody blew a trumpet. And I'm going to tell you, teenagers, I mean, we're climbing over teenagers to get to that altar. We haven't seen that anymore in life, where people not afraid, amen, to risk and gamble the relationship with God. Amen. We got to be ready. We got to get back that inside of our hearts that we are watchful and vigilant and alert and responsible. Somebody say amen. Wise and foolish. I want you to listen. Got to check off here. All were virgins, but there were five wise and five foolish. All had lamps. They all had oil in their lamps. Their lamps were burning. They waited for the bridegroom. They slumbered. They slept. They heard the cry. They trimmed their lamps. But only five had sufficient supply of oil. Let me say this. You may have a perfect good lamp with a perfect good base and a perfect good wick and a perfect good globe. But if you don't have oil, there will be no light. You better have some oil in your life. Amen. You better have the Holy Ghost living inside. We can't afford to gamble. The signs of the time are here. Think with me. And there's been time we taught this in the jail, and the Holy Ghost is, I mean, falling in the jail. But you teach on the outside, people just, they don't care about it. The coming of the Lord. I want the Lord to take me. How about you? I want to be ready to meet Jesus. But we're... The Bible says there's sailors that know the signs of the weather. They can look at the sky and tell you what kind of day it's going to be. But we're living in a senseless time where people don't recognize the signs of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I really feel that the Lord's going to come back in my life. And I heard that different ones preach it all my life. The Lord's fixing to come. The Lord's fixing to come. And, you know, we've heard that, and it's almost become old corn to some people. But let it be something still real to you that the Lord's fixing to come back. Amen. This world hasn't got any better. In fact, it's getting worse. Regardless who may be president, there's going to be a lot of changes that happens. And I think that there's going to be a lot of changes for the worse. I don't care who's a president. We got to be ready to meet God. You got to be ready. And the Bible teaches me as a pastor to prepare you to cry out, get your hearts right, let your life stay ready. Don't gamble. And the problem with the foolish virgins, they gambled. And you know what the major problem was? It wasn't that they had empty and their light lamp ran out. They just didn't have a reservoir. They had no oil. They neglected to keep oil for their lamps. If you read it, they all went forth to meet the bridegroom. They knew where they were going, or supposed to be going. And they took lamps, but they took no oil with them. What good is taking your lamp? What good is having your lamp? And if you don't have oil in it, what good is you're saying, oh, I used to have a relationship with God. But if your life is not full, what good is it? You're not going to get anywhere. You're going to be left behind. Got to have your oil full. Amen. Neglect was the problem of the five foolish. They neglected to keep their oil full. And the Bible says this in Hebrews. In fact, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. How shall we escape? Can you put that up there, brother? Hebrews 2, verse 3. How shall we escape if we what? So great salvation. How shall we escape? You know, Isaiah also said, Who amongst us shall dwell with the devourer? Who's going to be devoured with fire? And the question goes again. Who's going to dwell in that everlasting burning and fire? And, you know, the old prophets would ask these questions and they would answer them. You know what the answer was? The foolish. The foolish, those that not just being naive, but foolish enough to think they could get by with it. Hear me. The fool is a foolish person, not that he doesn't know, but he thinks that he could get by without doing something. Hear me. How shall we escape if we neglect your relationship with God? It is important that you keep it up, that you don't neglect your relationship with God. Amen. Now, you know, today most of our vehicles has a indicating light whenever your fuel system is getting low. You boys that was with me today, you know when my light turned on in my truck? Probably about cushion. And we scooted on in with the light on in our truck because I knew I had about 25 miles left. And we rolled back into Nacogdoches in my driveway with the light on. And many times, Sister Crosswhite had said, quit gambling, basically, on that light. You know, I don't need to gamble with that light and think, oh, well, I know another station up the road. Hey, friend, we need to look at our gauge and realize we don't need to play around if it's on E or even almost empty. Amen. Stay full. Get all you can, every opportunity you got. Amen. Instead of letting it run bone dry or almost dry, keep your oil reservoir full. Stay full of the things of God. I wonder what distracted them or caused them to neglect. Have you ever thought about that? Foolish virgins. Obviously, they were distracted or felt that they, I know better. I think I could chance it better. Neglect sometimes could be a laziness. If you're too lazy to pray, you're too lazy to meet with God. God's not looking for lazy Christians. God wants somebody who is diligent, faithful, not a hypocrite, not one that hits and miss. Be ready to meet God. Hear me. You got to have your oil full. Keep yourself full of the Holy Ghost, full in your relationship with God. We got a daily walk with God. Daily have a fire relationship with God. Let your lamp be burning with God. The midnight cry came. The world in its present dilemma is a perfect setting for the coming of the Lord. Perfect setting. I want you to hear what 2 Timothy 3 says. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 2 and 4, Brother Josh. The first thing off the bat, I want you to catch it with me, okay? Just don't hear, Pastor. I want you to catch what the Word of God says. For men shall be lovers of... When you love your own self more than you love God, you got a problem. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud. What's the next one? What's the next one? So, disobedient to parents or authority, unthankful. And what's the next one? Go on a little bit in the next one. Without what? Without natural affection. Unnatural affection. We talked about it a while ago. Unnatural affection is when people start loving things that are wrong. When a man feels like it's okay for me to be gay. Friend, if you got tendencies that are soft in your man, amen, you need to put some gravel on your voice. You got tendencies to be just, hey, you need to straighten up. And if a girl, you got a tendency to kind of be just a little bit what they used to call tomboy, you still need to be prissy and lacy, and hey, you need to be feminine. I can't say it. Yeah, there you go. Thank you. We can't have this unnatural affection. Next thing, truce breakers, where people break their word. Truce breakers. Truce breakers are those that say, well, it don't matter. False accusers. Incontinent. Always trying to divide things. Fierce. We're living in a fierce generation. People are fierce. Despisers of those that, what? Have you ever seen an hour like right now? Somebody that's trying to do good, people will despise it. Does it go on, verse 4? Traitors. Heady. High-minded. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Keep on. Having what? What is a form of godliness? That means the look of it. It looks like, they act like, but denying the power thereof from such what? Well, that seals a lot, don't it? We're talking about the hour we're in right now. Saints of God, I cannot tell you enough. We are living in the last hours. It's crazy. You know, it don't take very long. Technology, today that we have, I mean, you could look, I mean, immediately, and there's live cameras all around the world that you could see what's happening in Jerusalem right now and see Jerusalem by live feed and live cameras. It's crazy that the eyes of our world are everywhere. People can see. The ears of our world are everywhere. And believe me, your device called a phone, just because you delete something doesn't mean it's deleted. It may be deleted from you for the masking of what you see, but do you know that they could follow every movement by your phone, what you Google, what you look at, what your interest is, what you talk about? How many of you have talked about something, and when you pulled up your phone, there was something there? Has that happened to anybody besides us? Why? How does that happen? Your phone is listening. In fact, my phone, I could say right now, certain word, and my phone will answer. If I need a call, I could say something, and the call could be made. Believe me, we're living in that hour where you may think you could hide some things, but the eyes of technology, the eyes of all this are upon us. But friend, I'm going to tell you, there's a God whose eyes are greater than the eyes of technology. The God who hears everything. And even those things that are said in secret, God knows. That's why we got to be ready to meet God. Don't be the five foolish. Don't be amongst the foolish that knows but just think they could do better. I could ignore it. I'll do it later. Don't procrastinate and don't neglect this so great salvation. Don't hold off on it. More than ever, the church needs to be ready. And as individuals, we got to stay ready for the things of God. Amen. I'm thankful for the beauty of God's refreshing. That we, when we come to God, God will forgive us. You know, and again, let me just tell you. We're people. We're humans. We mess up. But I'm thankful that the blood of Jesus will help you back up. Are you thankful for the blood of the Lord? Amen. That God will help us back up even though we stumble. Even though we fumble. But the deal is, when you do stumble and fumble, you got to go back to Calvary. You got to go to Him and ask forgiveness and get some things right. If you have healed your brother, get it right with your brother or sister. If you have spoken bad and gossip or backbiting, you got to get some things right. Jesus taught it so much. He said, take your gift to the altar, leave it there, and go make it right, come back and start again. When you have talked or done something against a brother or a sister, you know you got to go ask for forgiveness. You got to straighten some things out. Well, now that don't happen, people think, I don't have to do that. It's what the book's teaching us. Pride stands in our way for a lot of things. Amen. I want to be ready to meet Jesus. How about you? The plight of the foolish virgins was this. Matthew 25:8 says, our lamps are gone out. What a frightening experience. And the cry came out at midnight, go out and meet him. But the closest service station or convenience store or gas station is closed. There's none in this area that are open. They had nowhere to go. And they turned to somebody else and they said, would you please give us of your oil was a request. Let me just say, there's some things that cannot be given. They must be earned or purchased by the recipient. It is impossible to transfer holy living from one who lives holy to another person who doesn't. It's hard. It's impossible to transfer faithfulness from a dependable man to a slothful man. Neither can good works be transferred or bequeathed to another individual. The oil of the Holy Ghost is replenished by your own faithfulness in prayer and communion with the Almighty God. I want to be ready about you. Amen. The word buy for yourself is what was repeated by the 10 wise. Go buy for yourself. Buy for yourself. It's going to cost you. It's going to take you taking priority. Get back to God. It takes time. The plight of the five foolish virgins was not just being out of oil, but not have enough time to get some oil before the bridegroom came. Out of oil and out of time. Out of oil and out of time. We're running out of time. But don't run out of oil. Somebody say, we're running out of time. I want you to tell somebody near you, look at them, tell them we're running out of time. Time is winding up. I remember some of you a little bit younger. I look at Nina, I watched you grow up. Gloriana, I mean, I was there when you were born too. You're growing old now. Older. Time is taking toll. Think about it. I look at each one of you ladies up here on this front row. I look at different one. Izzy, I can remember that little cute little girl getting up here. I mean, how cute you were. To get up here and, I mean, you stole everybody's hearts. Now you're a grown lady. Time, where is we're running out of time. Time equals opportunity. But if we're not filling our oil reserve with the things of God, we're fooling ourselves. God wants a church that has made themselves ready and a people that stays full of His Spirit. Don't look at it as negative. Jesus died for you that you could make it. Amen. It's not the will of God for you to go to hell. The first thing the devil wants you to feel like, well, I can't do it. It's too hard. If you feel it's too hard to live for God, the devil's fooling you. I got to hit it. I got to nail that, okay? If you feel it's too impossible for you to live for God or too hard, you're being fooled. Amen. You know what God's want? God just wants you to say, Lord, I've got problems. If you keep falling into the same old trap, be a person, woman enough, a man enough to say, God, help me. I keep stumbling over the same thing. If you never point it out and pray, God, help me with it, you're going to keep falling on your face. That's where you got to realize a person that has a problem in their life has a need in their life. And if you have a need in your life, God is your answer. We lean on Him, not on our understanding. And the more needs you have and impossibilities in your life, the more Jesus you need. I'll tell you, I need God every day. I've got to lean on Him. When I try to be right on my own, I can't. I mess up and I fall on my face. That is where I have to say, God, I depend and I trust in You. Keep me. Keep my eyes, keep my ears, keep my mouth, and keep my nose in the right place. I don't want to put my nose in other things that's going to be bad. I want my heart to be ready to meet Jesus Christ. How about you? And the aftermath of all this, they cried out, Lord, open up to us. Just like Noah's generation, they cried to Noah, open the door. And one of the tragic, tragic memories as a kid, you know, today, y'all all have computers, tablets, phones, and nothing is as meaningful. Back in the day when I was a kid, we used to sit there and look at these books, and I didn't have a television growing up. So a book, a picture paints 1,000 words, right? And I'll never forget a track when I seen when I was a kid had a little picture on it. It was Noah's flood, and there was a mama standing right next to the ark, and she was holding her baby up with her hands, and the water was like right here. Spare look on her face, that baby up, and I know it was raining, the water was rising. I want to tell you what got a hold of my heart was, I got to be ready. I can't gamble. And I looked at that picture and it legged my heart with sadness for that woman because she did have an opportunity, but the door was shut. It was too late for her and her children, her baby especially. These foolish virgins, the plight of midnight was this. The door was shut. Now the summer, what Jesus said, the final thing was this. After Jesus gave this illustration, this parable, Matthew 25:13, Brother Josh again. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Church must be sober, vigilant, ready. We can't just be keyed up. Because you get all keyed up, you go unkey. It's better to be steady than have to be hyped up. You don't need to be on a sugar high with God. You need to be on a highway with God. A walking relationship with God. There's some people get all excited and boom, their excitement goes. Kind of like it's gone. I want to be ready. I want my lamp to be full and running over. The Lord said at the coming, there's going to be a normal state of living. Two people's going to be in a bed asleep. Two people's going to be working. And the Lord's using an illustration, normal activities. They didn't even know what was supposed to happen. And all of a sudden, one is left and the other is gone. One that is working going to be left and one's going to be taken. On a normal day, Jesus is going to come. And such an hour as we think not, the scripture begins to say. Apostle Paul made an affirmation. He said, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing's going to be able to separate us when we love God and we're ready. Stand with me. Watch, therefore. Be ready. Have your oil full. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Man, I remember in 1976, 77, I was just a little boy. I never was much of a little boy, but I was a young boy. Preacher came to our church in that era, and he talked about people getting the mark of the beast. This is when the grocery stores first started what we call the UPC code. On the back of a can, you know that little barcode that you scan when you go to Walmart? When that first came out, that's a product code, universal product code. That's what it stands for. That preacher come through, and he had those codes, and he scared us to death. Telling us, you know, this is just like the mark of the beast, that these canned goods and boxes of stuff all has this unique individual codes. I can remember saying, God, I need you. 1976 is a long time. It's past. But Jesus is still coming. You know everything is set up. You know that the red heifers in Jerusalem, if you read about in the prophecy that Israel, the coming of the Lord, will come when they sacrifice the red heifers. It's one of the indications of the end time. And the red heifers in the Bible time, in Bible prophecy, in order for them to be ready to be sacrificed, they had to be at least 4 years old. You know how old they are right now? We got to be ready, church. I got to be ready to meet God. If it has to scare you, God, scare me. But I want to tell you a better thing than being scared. Get close to Jesus and heart to heart with Jesus. And all that fear will be gone. You'll just be ready to meet Him. You look forward to His coming. Amen. Would you lift your hands to Jesus? I want you to talk to Him about you. Lord, help me to be ready to meet you. Help me, God, to walk with you. God, your coming is near. God, the midnight cry is so close. Hallelujah. Help me, Lord Jesus, to be prepared. Help me to be watching, waiting, God, looking at my life, Lord, and preparing. Thank you for it today, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Sis Crossway, I begin to sing it.
When Jesus steps out, children,
think about it.
The dead in Christ shall rise to meet Him in the air.
Come on, He's getting close.
And then those that remain
well, there's going to be some that go in. There's going to be others left behind.
At the midnight cry.
Midnight cry is coming.
When Jesus comes again. When Jesus
are you ready to meet Him?
To call,
is your life in order? Do you have oil in your lamp? Are you covered in the blood of Jesus?
Shall
He's just to come. All the boxes are being checked off as being part of the end time. You better be sure. You better be certain. You can't be gambling.
That
don't neglect. Check your heart.
We'll be quickly changed. We'll be quickly changed. At the midnight cry. When Jesus comes again. I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Oh, it's closer, closer, closer than ever.
And it's closer now.
Be ready. Come on, get ready. Be ready. Be ready.
Than it's ever been.
Oh, it's not time to play. Ignore or neglect.
I can almost hear the trumpet.